Welcome back to the deep dive.
So today we're kind of shifting gears. We're moving past the, you know, the flashy demos and the big vision stuff for AI.
Yeah, we're getting down to brass tacks.
Exactly. We are diving straight into the language that really decides if an AI project gets off the ground or just stays on a wish list. We're talking corporate finance.
That's so true. You spend ages, right, focusing on the models, the tech, the innovation, and then forget that final massive hurdle, actually getting the budget approved.
Right.
And you, the listener, gave us this amazing guide. It's designed specifically to bridge that gap, you know, to translate all that tech ambition into something a CFO can actually sign off on.
So our mission here is to basically pull apart this source material, distill it into like pure strategic intel for you.
Mm-hmm.
We want to extract the specific categories, the metrics, the justifications, the things that take that tech wish list and make it look like a solid, financially sound business case.
Yeah, moving beyond just, hey, look what AI can do.
Totally.
Yeah.
We're tackling the real question. What does the CFO need to see on paper before they'll actually write the check?
Precisely. And when a finance exec looks at an AI budget request, they're laser focused on financial accountability. There are, according to the source, six things they absolutely need to see. Non-negotiable.
Six factors.
Yep. And if your proposal doesn't nail every single one of these, it's probably going nowhere. Stalls right there.
Okay, let's break them down. Where do we start? The first couple sound like they're straight for the bottom line.
They are. First up, ROI precision. Your proposal has to connect directly to measurable, quantifiable business outcomes. No vague promises.
So specifics like?
Like we're talking concrete stuff. Speeding up sales cycles by exactly X percent, cutting operational costs in this specific department, boosting support ticket resolution rates by Y. The CFO needs to see the exact financial lever you plan to pull.
And the timeline for seeing that return? The source material suggested it's pretty demanding.
Oh, it is. That's the second factor. The return timeline. Finance teams are looking for payback validation in 12 months or less.
12 months. Wow.
Yeah, for the main use case anyway. That kind of timeline, it forces some really aggressive prioritization.
Right.
It basically tells the CFO, you're focused on projects that move the needle quickly, things that generate fast, verifiable value, not, you know, long-term research projects or theoretical benefits.
Okay. But with everyone scrambling to deploy AI now, is that 12-month payback truly realistic for, like, big enterprise transformation efforts? Or does it just force you to aim only for the really easy low-hanging fruit?
That's the strategic tightrope, isn't it? It pushes the person writing the proposal to find that beachhead use case.
Beachhead.
Yeah, like a defined, narrow, initial project scope with easily measured benefits. Get that funded first. You're not trying to fund the whole multi-year, company-wide revolution all at once. It's really a financial discipline mechanism.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Discipline first. So let's talk about the money itself. How does the source say we should actually account for the full investment, all the hidden costs?
Well, that leads straight into number three, total cost transparency. The CFO needs to see everything, every single layer.
Not just the model subscription then?
Definitely not. We're talking cloud infrastructure costs, sure, but also data prep, systems integration, governance tools, and even the stuff people forget, like organizational change management, training costs. No black boxes allowed. Full visibility.
Got it. Now, the fourth factor. This feels like where AI really stands apart from typical IT spending, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the risks are just different.
Precisely. Factor four is a robust risk mitigation framework. This is absolutely critical, and you need to address it upfront.
So what does that involve?
It means having formalized protocols ready to go. For security, obviously. For regulatory compliance, which is getting trickier and trickier with AI. For responsible AI governance.
Yeah.
And for formal model risk management.
Why is that so key for the finance folks?
Because they see unmanaged risk as basically an unbudgeted future liability, showing you've thought about it, planned for it, contained it. That's essential for getting the green light.
Okay. And number five. Sounds like it's about keeping things under control day to day.
Yep. Pure financial discipline and execution. This means you've got to track unit level economics.
Unit level. You mean like?
The actual cost per AI interaction or the cost per document it processes or cost per user. Getting really granular. And crucially, you need automated guardrails.
Guardrails. Like spending caps.
Exactly. Consumption guardrails and quotas built in automatically.
Yeah.
This is to prevent those nightmare scenarios where the AI usage just balloons and blows the budget. We've all heard stories about that happening in early deployments.
Yeah, definitely want to avoid those.
Yeah.
So measure granularly, build in limits. And the last one, number six, Sounds like they want the long view, but tethered to reality.
That's a good way to put it. The final factor is evidence-based scaling. Your roadmap needs to be driven by milestones, clear steps, meaning you have to demonstrate the quantified ROI from your pilot, from that initial phase, before you get approval for any further investment or expansion.
So expansion isn't automatic.
Not at all. The CFO sees scaling up as a reward for successful execution, not just something you're entitled to because the pilot worked. Prove it, then grow it.
Okay, accountability is definitely the theme here. That's the high bar. So the next logical step is strategy. We need to show you, the listener, how that budget allocation actually changes as your organization gets better, more mature with AI.
Right.
The source material lays out these three stages of AI maturity, and it shows how the budget percentages shift pretty dynamically.
Yeah, this part of the guide is really useful because it shows your budget request today shouldn't look the same as the one you'll make in, say, 3 years.
Makes sense.
So in that first stage, the foundation or pilot phase, the main goal is validating that 12-month ROI we talked about. You do that with targeted high-impact demos.
And the budget reflects that focus.
It does. A sample allocation might be something like 25% for data and the underlying platform, and another 25% for the actual AI models and our RAG retrieval augmented generation.
Okay, let's pause on RAG for a sec just to make sure everyone's on the same page, especially maybe listeners in finance roles who aren't deep in the tech weeds. Our RAG is basically the system that lets the AI accurately use your own company's internal documents, right? So it gives relevant company-specific answers instead of just making stuff up.
That's a perfect summary. It's crucial for accuracy with proprietary info. So yeah, heavily weighted towards that initial build and proving it works.
Okay, then you move into the growth phase.
Right. Here the strategy shifts. You're scaling up the stuff that worked across more departments. And the budget allocation. It changes quite a bit.
How so?
Things like MLOps, that's machine learning operations and quality assurance, plus security and governance. Those budget lines jump up significantly, often hitting maybe 15% each.
And MLOps,
mm-hmm.
Remind us, that's like DevOps, but for AI models, wow. Making sure they run reliably, get monitored, updated easily.
Exactly that.
Why does that budget line suddenly get so much bigger in the growth phase?
Because managing models in production, protecting data when you're serving lots of users, it's just as expensive, sometimes more expensive, than building the initial model. When you go from a small pilot to, say, hundreds of internal users depending on this thing, the cost of failure skyrockets. You need serious industrial-grade tools to keep it reliable and consistent.
Which leads us to the final stage, maturity. AI is now core to the business. It's everywhere. I'm guessing infrastructure and risk control really dominate the budget then.
They absolutely have to. In the maturity stage, MLOps, QA, and security governance budgets often climb again, maybe hitting 20% each.
Wow, 40% just on keeping it running safely and reliably.
Yeah, it reflects that shift. It's not just about proving a cool model works anymore. It's about ensuring it's reliable, totally secure, compliant with everything, and deeply woven into how the business runs.
Makes sense.
And there's a key footnote in the guide here, too. For heavily regulated industries, think finance, healthcare, they recommend bumping up that security and governance spend by an extra 5 to 10 percentage points right from the very beginning, even in the foundation phase.
Good call out. Okay, that brings us to the really granular stuff in the source material. Digging into the essential line items in that budget proposal, the guide stresses that every single item needs its own justification, its cost drivers, KPIs, risk controls, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
You should probably look at what makes these cost lines unique for AI.
Definitely. Let's start with a core piece, the vector, database, and retrieval RAG system we mentioned. We know why you need it for accuracy using your own content, but the specific AI risk the CFO is worried about here, it's data leakage.
Oh, right. The AI accidentally showing sensitive internal info to the wrong person.
Exactly. So the required risk control isn't just generic security. It has to be highly specific.
Like what?
Like demonstrating you have tight access controls, specific document level permissions, and clear data retention rules. It directly addresses that unique risk of AI exposing things it shouldn't or holding on to data for too long.
Okay. What about the next big one? LLM access and licensing. This often just looks like another cloud bill, right? But the KPI is what connects that spending back to business value.
The KPI is absolutely key here. You can't just track cost per token. That's too basic. You need the cost per resolved task.
Outcome-based.
Yes. And a quality score, probably derived from some kind of evaluation harness or testing framework, that forces the tech team to actually optimize how they're using the model for efficiency, because every dollar spent needs that clear return metric tied to it.
And the risks for LLMs.
Critical controls here include robust PII filtering, making sure personal information gets automatically masked or redacted, defenses against prompt injection attacks, and strict rate limits to manage usage spikes and control costs.
Got it. Another category finance definitely zooms in on: guardrails and safety filters. The justification seems obvious: protect the brand, avoid toxic outputs. But how do you make that financially accountable? What are the KPIs?
The measurable outputs for safety are things like the policy violation rate, how often does it generate something it shouldn't, and the false positive negative rate for those filters, how often does it block good content or let bad content through.
So you have to measure the effectiveness.
If you can't measure your safety filters, you can't really justify the ongoing budget for them. And the source also mandates a really crucial risk control, admitting that automation isn't foolproof, human-in-the-loop escalation.
Meaning you need a process for people to step in.
Yes. You absolutely must have protocols for when the filters mess up or flag something tricky that needs human judgment.
Makes sense. And that last big bucket, governance and responsible AI. This sounds like more than just ticking a compliance box.
Oh, it's way more. It's essentially the cost of being auditable when you're using AI at scale. This covers aligning everything you do with established frameworks like the NIST AI Risk Management Framework. It means getting security certifications like SOC2, ensuring you're compliant with privacy laws like GDPR or CCPA.
And for the models themselves.
It means mandatory things like formal model cards, documenting what a model does and its limitations, and getting explicit executive approvals before any AI model touches production data or systems. It's serious business.
Wow, okay. That level of detail really hammers home that getting budget approval is all about nailing this incredibly detailed financial model. Let's shift gears slightly to the pure numbers game. This is where we go from the philosophy to the hard math of unit economics.
Right. This is the section you, the listener, probably need to really absorb. If you want that CFO approval, you have to be able to calculate the total cost per operation. And that's way more complicated than just looking at your model usage bill. The key insight here is that for every single transaction the AI handles, you need to factor in costs from 5 different areas.
5 components for 1 transaction. Okay, that complexity probably explains why some AI projects hit budget walls. They maybe didn't instrument things that deeply. What are the 5?
Okay, so you've got your standard token costs, input and output, obviously. Then the retrieval costs, querying that RAG system. Then security validation costs, running the safety checks. And finally, monitoring overhead, the cost of collecting all the telemetry to track performance and usage.
Input tokens, output tokens, retrieval, security, monitoring. Got it.
The formula itself might look complex on paper, yeah. But the real takeaway is you need systems in place that can track all 5 of those cost components for every single transaction. That's how you maintain financial discipline.
That sounds like a heavy lift on the instrumentation side. But okay, the ultimate goal of all this detailed math is that recovery timeline, right? The break-even calculation. The formula looks pretty simple. Total initial investment divided by average monthly value creation.
Beautifully simple, but incredibly powerful. And the key is you must be able to quantify that value creation part using specific agreed-upon metrics that everyone trusts. That feeds the formula.
And the guide gave some concrete examples of those metrics.
It did. Approved examples were things like automated resolution rates going up in customer service, sales cycles getting shorter in revenue operations, pull request cycle time decreasing for engineering teams. Those are the kinds of hard numbers the CFO will use to actually validate that value creation claim.
Okay, which brings us nicely to the practical side, the procurement and cost control playbook. Once the AI is running, how do you stop the spending from just going crazy?
Yeah.
Because AI usage can scale really unpredictably.
Yeah, that's a real risk. The source lays out some essential tactics for managing usage and keeping things efficient. Simple stuff first, like optimizing the context window size you send to the model, using smart caching for common prompts to avoid redundant calls.
But the biggest lever for cost savings is usually how you buy the underlying cloud resources, isn't it?
Absolutely. You really need to look at using reserve capacity for predictable ongoing workloads instead of just relying purely on expensive on-demand pricing.
That price difference can be huge.
It really can. The delta between reserved and on-demand pricing is often the make or break factor for whether a project actually hits its ROI target or ends up in the red.
And my personal favorite tactic, because it tackles that constant cost versus quality balancing act in AI fit for purpose model selection.
Precisely. This is pure financial common sense applied to AI. Use the lighter, cheaper models for the everyday routine tasks, you know, summarizing internal notes, drafting emails, and then reserve the powerful, premium, expensive models only for those tasks where quality, accuracy, and nuance are absolutely critical, like high-stakes decision support or complex problem solving.
Right. Tool for the job thinking. Okay, let's wrap this up with maybe a quick snapshot of that financial roadmap in action. Like, what does Q1 and Q2 look like? Give you, the listener, a mental model.
Okay, yeah. Q1 is all about laying the groundwork and controlling risk. You need to establish those baseline security controls, get your data source integrations done, and deploy a minimum viable RAG service. So that MVP is really just about gathering the data you need for the Q2 metrics.
So Q1 is set up, Q2 is proof.
Exactly. By the end of Q2, you must have one or two production use cases, those specific beachhead applications we talked about up and running, with fully quantified ROI tracking actually working and reporting numbers.
And the controls in place.
Yes. Critically, you have to establish those usage quotas and budget controls we discussed earlier. Q2 is where you prove the value and prove you can control the costs before you ask to scale further. So if we try to boil all this down, synthesize everything we've covered, the core message seems really clear. Getting AI approved isn't primarily about the coolest tech or the most innovative algorithm. It's about financial accountability. It's about robust risk management, especially around things like data loss prevention, DLP, and redacting PII. Huh. And it's about having verifiable unit economics. The guide provided these great checklists for getting the budget, but it also highlighted something else as critical: human oversight.
Yeah, the source material talks about unique AI security risks, right? Mm. Things like prompt injection, data poisoning, very technical problems engineers tackle with code.
True. But the governance section really hammered home that human oversight, specifically having robust escalation protocols for tricky or sensitive decisions and maintaining mandatory audit trails, isn't optional. It's a non-negotiable cost of doing business with AI responsibly.
Which leads to maybe a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on. Given the immense pressure on organizations right now to deploy AI fast, is the biggest risk to achieving financial success with AI really a technological one? Or could it be the organizational failure, the failure to invest equally in the necessary human governance, the training, the oversight processes, all the things the CFO actually needs to see to feel comfortable?